morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're previewing the Packers defensive line in a pre-training camp exclusive preview. And we are getting ready for training camp that starts this week. It all begins this week, folks. This is the week you've been waiting for ever since the last season ended. On Tuesday, the shareholders meeting gets underway. Then on Wednesday, players report for training camp. Thursday, practice actually starts. And that begins a string of nonstop football practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and goes into next week with your training camp family night next Friday. So exciting times ahead of us here as Packers football is getting underway. We bring you this morning's Railbird Central at the exact same time that the NCAA is levying sanctions against Penn State football. Quite a time right now. A lot of attention is on that. You can imagine the media attention surrounding that. That story is just absolutely incredible. They've handed down very, very stiff sanctions against Penn State. Bowl ban for 4 years, vacating wins for more than a decade. A loss of 40 scholarships. The university has to pay $60 million to an endowment fund for victims of child abuse, etc. It goes on. The point of this show is not to talk about Penn State football, although there are some Penn State alums on the Packers football team, including tight end Andrew Quarles, but rather a brief note here about what's going on in the world of football in general, and its impact is absolutely immense, and it is, as we've said before, a sad situation that this ever had to happen to begin with. But, let's talk about happier things. Let's talk about Packers football, and this past weekend was the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame induction banquet. Former Packers head coach and current Cleveland Browns president Mike Holmgren being inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame, and what a deserving honor that is. Congratulations to Mike Holmgren. You deserve it. The fans of the Green Bay Packers deserve to see him in there. And after bringing glory back to Titletown after a significantly long absence, what was it, 29 years, I believe, since their last world championship back during the Vince Lombardi era. It's all in this morning's Packers Daily Links. If you scroll down to the bottom right-hand corner of the page you're on right now, at least if you're watching the live version of our show, you'll see a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. And the top story today, all about Mike Holmgren's induction into the Hall of Fame over this past weekend. And left a lot of links to that, reporters that covered it. And Lori Nickel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel cite her article in particular, basically summing up his on-field accomplishments in Green Bay rather succinctly. Quote, Holmgren led the Packers to the playoffs in six of his seven seasons, compiling an overall record of 75-37. He was also 9-5 in the playoffs. Green Bay won the NFC Central three times and the NFC Championship twice, and also brought the Lombardi Trophy home following the 1996 season after a 29-year drought. There is what Mike Holmgren contributed to the Green Bay Packers organization. Fond memories, I'm sure, for many fans. And again, congratulations to him. Very worthy and very happy of the culture Mike Holmgren brought to Green Bay after he was hired. It's been good times in Green Bay for the most part, for the large part, ever since Holmgren's hiring. It's continued. His influence on the organization has continued, and it's, you know, they've had success ever since, including another Super Bowl championship. But, I mean, just winning seasons in general in Green Bay have been the norm ever since Mike Holmgren was the head coach. And, I mean, you can date back to before that and point to the influence guys like Ron Wolf and Bob Harlan had on the organization, too. And Ron Wolf introduced Mike Holmgren at the banquet on Saturday night. But, yes, I mean, absolutely fantastic influence, fantastic times in Green Bay over the course of the Mike Holmgren era and beyond. And great news, great for the Packers organization to be honoring that type of individual, even though he had to leave, go to Seattle, and now Cleveland. But that's all right. That's okay. We moved on. We've forgiven, forgotten, which I'm not sure if we've moved on yet from another former Packer, Brett Favre, who, of course, was in the news over the weekend as well. In fact, at the Hall of Fame ceremony this past weekend, Mike Holmgren was asked about Brett Favre, actually shared the news that Brett Favre had texted him to offer him congratulations on his inclusion in the Hall of Fame. But Brett Favre also going to be a high school football coach this season in his native Mississippi, Oak Grove High School, which is near Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where he lives. So that is the big news coming down from the Associated Press this past weekend and other local newspapers down there. Brett Favre in an assistant role yet to be defined. I guess some newspapers have written what his role could be, might be, but I don't think anything specific has come down from the high school itself. Could be like an offensive coordinator or something like that. Not going to be a head coach, but an assistant in some role, some way, shape, or form. Brett Favre, high school football coach. The guy accused of sending pictures of his genitalia, now going to be a high school football coach. And again, I say accused. Nothing has been proven. But Brett Favre would not agree to cooperate in that investigation by the NFL, which was a shame there and something I personally hold against Brett Favre. But that is just me. Nothing been proven in a court of law. But anyhow, so there's your daily Brett Favre update. Seems to be happening all the time. And by the way, if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, those comments will show up on our live blog. Your comments aren't being approved today, so that's going to be your only way of participating in today's show. If you want to tweet, feel free to tweet away. Use the widget underneath the broadcast player as well. That will work. But today wanted to get into a defensive line preview, something we've been doing on every episode of Railbird Central for the past few weeks now. We concluded our offensive position previews last week, last Friday, with the offensive line, had gone through every position. Starting this week, want to get to the defensive side of the football and spend a lot of time talking about the defensive line today. And it's something we'll continue here at Railbird Central with the linebackers on Wednesday, get into the defensive backs later. We'll even talk about the specialists at some point. But defensive line. Okay, the large view, big picture here of the defensive line. We're talking about a group that is, was very good in 2010 when the Packers won the Super Bowl. You know, led by an up-and-coming B.J. Raji. You had Cullen Jenkins, who had 6.5 sacks that season? And was it even more than that? 7.5? And if you include the regular season and the playoffs, might have been even more. And the always solid Ryan Pickett, you know, they were the the stalwarts of that group, you know, in 2010 during the Super Bowl year, and got good contributions from a guy like Howard Green, you know, certainly not a star, but put together a good season in 2010, was a good contributing member to the Packers, as well as guys like C.J. Wilson, etc. So, fast forward to 2011, last season, Cullen Jenkins leaves for Philadelphia, the Eagles, in free agency, and everything seems to go haywire. I mean, it's obvious the influence he had, and certainly it goes beyond Cullen Jenkins alone, the performance of the Packers' defense last year. I mean, Nick Collins, his absence had an impact as well. But, I mean, a big-time influence on the performance of the defensive line. Cullen Jenkins, big-time pass rusher, good player all around, though, leaving the team. And the defensive line stagnates. B.J. Raji's pass rush production goes in decline. I mean, he still did okay, but it goes in reverse for B.J. Raji. Ryan Pickett was solid. Both those guys probably having to play more than they should because there was not much depth on the defensive line last year, for one, which injuries elsewhere contributed to. Such as Mike Neal. But, I mean, B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, probably having to play more than they should, getting tired down, you know, not being as effective in general. And so that's where the Packers are heading into this season. So the Packers had to do something. They had to add bodies on the defensive line. And what they hope are good bodies. they hope they added productive players, but they went several routes to do it. Of course, the first method they used was free agency. And one of the Packers' big free agent signings this past offseason was defensive lineman Anthony Hargrove. And we could talk about him alone for like a half hour, just things that are revolving around Anthony Hargrove and Bounty Gate, former New Orleans Saint, actually came courtesy via the Seattle Seahawks where he played last season as well. Anthony Hargrove, a guy who the Packers hope is going to help their pass rush more than anything. A guy who is going to be a pass rushing defensive tackle in nickel situations, but probably could offer more than that. He's a big body, has actually been his weight has fluctuated. It's been as low as the 270s to up over 300, I think, at times. So it's like his body type has been, you know, very in flux. What he's at right now, I'm not exactly sure, but I mean, regardless, I mean, the role we're looking at with the Packers here is, you know, pass rushing defensive tackle, a guy who they can help, you know, who they hope can mitigate the loss of a Cullen Jenkins. Now, of course, there's this 8-game suspension revolving over the head of Anthony Hargrove, which legal action is next on the docket. He's been suspended. He lost his appeal. So Anthony Hargrove, for the time being, suspended for the first 8 games of 2012, unless legal action, which he and other suspended former New Orleans Saints players and current will be taking the NFL to court, unless it gets reversed, there's an injunction, something like that. Anthony Hargrove suspended the first 8 games, but now you have to think a little bit here. He does not count against the roster during those 8 games. He still can't participate during the preseason and training camp and all that. So he gets to, you know, he gets to train with the team, gets to learn the defense, gets to participate in preseason games, although he might not participate that much as the Packers try to prepare for the regular season. Anyhow, so they have that. So Anthony Hargrove, you know, it's kind of been thought that he'll be brought back mid-season, or at least the Packers can at mid-season, you know, after 8 weeks. They can decide then what they want to do with him. If they think at that point he's not worth you know, bringing back on the team, they could cut him then. You know, they don't have to cut him now. They don't have to cut him at the end of training camp. They can wait just in case. Just in case, you know, players do poorly, there's injuries, whatever. Anthony Hargrove could provide, in essence, a shot in the arm. A guy who's healthy, a guy who's, you know, fresh, has a fresh set of legs. He could provide that at midseason for the Packers for a push for the playoffs at that time. You know, we will see. All of a sudden the Packers are getting great performances from their rookies or something like that. And who knows, maybe the Packers would decide then to part ways with Anthony Hargrove, thinking it's not worth it bringing him back. I don't really anticipate that happening, but that is a possibility. So there's your first method of improvement on the Packers' defensive line. In addition to Anthony Hargrove, the Packers have also added in free agency two more players, Daniel Muir and Philip Merling. Both of them street free agents, aren't going to count in any compensatory draft pick formulas or anything like that. The Packers aren't counting on either one of these guys to be major contributors, but you know, it was just a method of adding depth to the team and hoping to catch lightning in a bottle. You know, anything these guys provide is going to be a bonus. You'll remember Daniel Muir actually was signed by as a rookie free agent with the Packers back in 2007, spent a very little bit of time on the regular season roster in 2007. But after that, went to the Indianapolis Colts after getting cut in 2008. Actually won a Super Bowl ring with the Colts. Had played some good snaps there for some time. But this past year in 2011, didn't play much at all. I think he was signed mid-season by the Colts. Played in like four games. Cut toward the end of the season. So he really hardly played at all last year. Was a street free agent. Packers giving him another go around. They've shown they've liked to sign guys with that have experience with them in the past. You know, at least he knows the system, he knows the atmosphere in Green Bay. He's got all that going for him. Apparently, he's going to kind of be a backup nose tackle. You know, when the Packers are in their 3-4 defense, if anything were to happen, God forbid, to B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Daniel Muir being looked as a backup nose tackle. I think he's a long shot to make the roster unless there's injuries, but you never know. He's worth taking a look at in training camp. Certainly. The other guy the Packers signed is a free agent, Philip Merling. Highly regarded coming out of college. Georgia Tech, if I remember correctly, was the 32nd overall draft choice in the NFL. Actually a second rounder, but, in today's day and age, would have been a first rounder. But anyhow, 32nd overall player, so highly regarded. Had a good rookie season with the Miami Dolphins, but has kind of gone down the hill ever since that time. You know, just really hasn't contributed all that much. Has underachieved with Miami. So he's a big guy, over 300 pounds. And the Packers looking to get that out of him. You know, if they need somebody to perhaps play in that base 3-4 defense, maybe. He does have some pass rush skills. He's raw. He's a guy who's battled injuries. I think an Achilles injury that has impacted his performance as well. So and he's had some issues with the law as well. Nothing too big. But he has been arrested for some sort of domestic dispute with a girlfriend or wife. I'm not exactly an expert here, so I will admit that. But I do know there were some issues. Nothing that has put him in jail for any length of time or has gotten him suspended or anything like that. But there is that to be concerned about. So, again, as is the case with Daniel Muir, the Packers not counting on Philip Merling. But again, You give him a look in training camp. Who knows? Maybe a change of scenery is the best thing for a guy like Philip Merling. Maybe the Packers catch lightning in a bottle and get some contributions out of him. We'll find out very shortly. Starting this week, we'll see what these guys have to offer as training camp begins. But apart from the free agents then, the Packers go into the NFL draft as well, looking for help on the defensive line. In the second round, they trade up to get Jarrell Worthy, a guy some had thought would go in the first round. So the Packers get Jarrell Worthy, and ends up being a pretty good pick for him. That's my opinion before he sees any action. I mean, it's hard to judge him now, but I liked the pick of Jarrell Worthy. He, too, a big guy, over 300 pounds, was the type of guy who could really knife into the backfield at Michigan State. Caused some havoc there. He's quick for his size and does a good job getting into the offensive backfield, whether it's the run or the pass. He just always somehow seemed to knife his way past offensive linemen. And would, you know, get tackles for a loss, would get sacks, you know, could be the type of pass-rushing defensive lineman the Packers are looking for. Was inserted into their first-string nickel package right away during the offseason program, during OTAs, during minicamp. So they're looking for that for him right away. You've got other issues on the team. You've got the suspension we mentioned to Anthony Hargrove. You got a suspension to Mike Neal. Those guys can't contribute for sure in the beginning. So they're going to be relying upon Jarrell Worthy fairly early in the process, very early in the season. So that's why they're, you know, giving him the trial by fire here during the offseason program and heading into training camp here. You know, whether Worthy can be a contributor as part of the 3-4 base defense, that's to be seen, remains to be seen. And again, some we'll be looking for in the next couple weeks. In the fourth round, the Packers selected another defensive lineman, also out of the Big Ten, Mike Daniels out of Iowa. The thing that stands out about him, sticks out about him, I suppose, and maybe it should, that's a euphemism, I guess, sticking out, standing out, because it's actually his stature that gets attention. He's actually short, squatty, rather small, a guy who's about 6 feet or 6 foot one and under 300 pounds, well under. He's small, but what he was known for at Iowa was being able to, you know, generate a pass rush as a defensive tackle. And again, you can tell pass rush is just so important for the Packers here this offseason, after last year not generating much of a pass rush at all, and you know, part of the reasons the defense played so poorly last year. So they really wanted to rectify that, and you know, they were willing to take a chance on a guy like Mike Daniels, you know, thinking even though he's small, he's a guy who's probably not going to play at all in the base defense unless, you know, emergency necessitates it, requires it. I mean, he's a guy who's going to be your pass rushing specialist only. He's going to come in nickel dime situations as a defensive tackle, and hopefully they hope he does the same things he did at Iowa. He'll do them in Green Bay. You know, again, kind of like Worthy in a way, knifing into the backfield, finding a way to get back there, using his quickness, using his natural leverage as a shorter player. To get back there and cause some havoc, put some pressure on opposing QBs. So that was the method of addition of defensive linemen throughout the offseason. The Packers were active in both free agency and the draft as a means to address that position. Now, we can look at the holdovers as well. That's five guys right there that are just new additions to the team. Now we talk about the holdovers, highlighted by, of course, B.J. Raji. We talked about him a little bit before. You know, a guy who had a, you know, comes in as a rookie in 2009 and doesn't do a whole lot, but he was just a rookie back then, so no big deal. 2010 busts out. His second season in the NFL, sophomore year, has, what do you have, 6.5 sacks in the regular season, was a major contributor to the Packers' Super Bowl run. Of course, had the touchdown interception for a touchdown against the Chicago Bears in the NFC Championship game. Big deal there. Got a lot of attention. B.J. Raji doing his little dance, and also is used as a fullback occasionally on offense, very, very sparingly. But anyhow, yeah, so B.J. Raji, there you are, your defensive lineman slash fullback. But yeah, it ends up taking a step back in 2011. As, you know, Cullen Jenkins leaves and Raji's more the focus now. Teams can game plan around him. They can double team him, things like that. His pass rush production goes down. Unfortunate situation for a B.J. Raji, but, you know, they hope now with other more talent around him that can open things back up and let B.J. Raji be a terror once again. That's the thinking, at least. Ryan Pickett, you know, here's a guy who's been with the Packers since 2006 is when he was signed with the free agent. Always solid, never usually spectacular, but underrated, serves his purpose, his worth. I mean, the Packers showed it when they offered him as the franchise player, what was it, 2 years ago? Slapped the franchise tag on Ryan Pickett. I mean, he really is invaluable. He just doesn't get much attention because he doesn't get any of the glory stats. You know, he doesn't get sacks or interceptions or anything like that. And those are the type of people who get media attention. But Ryan Pickett does his job and does it well as a run-stuffing defensive lineman, guy who can play both end and tackle. A guy who really, I think, hustles for his size and gets a lot out of it. A guy who does a good job taking on double teams, helps open things up for the linebackers behind him. Does all those things really well. So, I mean, that's Ryan Pickett in a nutshell. And he'll continue to do that. You hope maybe he doesn't play as large a role in 2012 as he did in 2011. Last year, forced to play quite a bit just because the Packers didn't have a whole lot of depth last year, so probably had to play more than he should. And Ryan Pickett's never going to get many sacks. You know, he's the type of guy you want to see on early downs, on first and 10, help stuff the run, keeping it at like second and 10, second and 9, things like that. So that's what he offers the team. And now for the backups. I mean, a lot of attention on Mike Neal. A guy the Packers were hoping could provide the Packers a lot last year, ends up having an injury during training camp, keeps him out for half the season. When he does come back, doesn't do a whole lot. And now he's been suspended by the NFL for performance-enhancing drugs, violated the team's, or the NFL's drug code or substance abuse code, and suspended the first four games of the NFL season. So, in a way, you have to wonder whether it's time to part ways with Mike Neal. You know, I don't think the Packers are at that point already. Perhaps they, you know, you can make the argument with the suspension that maybe they should. But as Mike Neal has addressed in the media, his suspension was for Adderall, for to fight attention deficit disorder, so not steroids. So there's a little bit there. He actually wanted to fight the NFL against his suspension. Apparently his appeal's already been denied. He wants to appeal a second time. Haven't heard any update on that, which is kind of odd, kind of weird. You know, I'm not sure, because suspensions have been overturned by the NFL in terms of cases for drugs like that, for like Adderall. So, but I mean, Mike Neal, It could be a case where, just like Anthony Hargrove, the Packers bring him back after his suspensions 4 weeks into the year. Who knows? Maybe there's injuries and he can provide something then. And who knows? Maybe he clicks in his third year in the NFL. Maybe he finally puts it all together, puts his injuries behind him. But, I mean, that's always going to kind of linger over his head a little bit. A guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy since joining the NFL. Kind of injury issues go back to his college years as well. Some people say he's wound too tightly. He's known as just like absolute weight room fanatic, bodybuilding freak. Is he wound too tightly and therefore prone to injury? That argument has been made. What truth to it, I don't really know. You can speculate about it. But that's Mike Neal. On top of him, you got to think a guy standing a good chance of making the team, if no reason other than to suspensions elsewhere on the team, would be C.J. Wilson, also entering his third year in the NFL, has been a, moderate contributor to the Packers, but not a heavy contributor. Has done a good job. I know the folks at ProFootballFocus.com have actually graded C.J. Wilson very well for stuffing the run. Among the best in the NFL at doing that. So kudos to him for that. Has not provided much of a pass rush at all, but is a good guy. Certainly he's a guy who could make the team and be a good guy on the roster, even if he's not a major contributor. But again, I mean, who knows? Maybe C.J. Wilson breaks out now in his third year in the NFL, and he's ready to be a bigger contributor to the team. You hope that's the case. I'm not banking on it, counting on it, but he is a guy I think that can be part of a rotation and contribute to the team. Elsewhere, you got Jarius Wynn, a guy who's been around for several seasons now, has done okay as a pass rusher, actually got out of the gate last year, getting a few sacks right away early in the season, but really slowed down after that, has never really done a whole lot in Green Bay either. He's gotten a sack here and there. I think Jarius Wynn, isn't he remembered for getting a sack of Brett Favre against the Minnesota Vikings? But, just not a big-time pass rush guy. He was a starter last year initially because of injuries, but playing time kind of tailed off. Just kind of so-so. I think Jarius Wynn's going to be hard-pressed to make the team this year. It works in his favor that these guys are suspended and that he might be needed at least early in the season. But even so, I still think he's going to be hard-pressed to make the team. Everyone else on the team, we're talking long shots here. Who am I missing? Johnny Jones, a guy who was on the practice squad last year. Not a whole lot else there on the Packers defensive line. Howard Green, his contract expired after this past season. Hasn't been re-signed by the Packers as a free agent. Doubtful that they will either, perhaps unless more injuries occur. They can always give Howard Green a phone call, but looking like he's not going to be back, just like Ryan Grant. And so that is your Packers defensive line and where they stack up heading into training camp here in 2012. So again, watching all these guys and what they have to contribute, what they have to offer the team is one of the pleasures of watching training camp practices, seeing how these guys fit into the team, seeing how they're, are they playing well? Are they not? Are they going to contribute? Are they going to be a starter? What's going to happen with these suspended guys, Mike Neal and Anthony Hargrove? How are the free agent additions fitting in? How are the rookies doing? All these things to look at, watch, just absolutely, exciting things to watch if you're a Packers fan. So that's your defensive lineman preview. We'll be back on Wednesday to look at the linebackers on the team here on Railbird Central. We broadcast every Monday, Wednesday, Friday live at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. And we podcast every episode as well. So make sure to tune in again on Wednesday. Will be our next episode. So be the day after the shareholders meeting. Hopefully a little bit of news to share there. And the day before training camp practices begin. So be an exciting time. On behalf of everyone at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. Thanks for joining us, folks. Again, we'll be back in 2 days. I leave you today with a song called Words by Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. And we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.